That's good in one respect, but in another respect, it actually makes things longer. So we're just trying to look for things that are in compliance with the 120-day rule for the certificates that are just – we're just looking for some more flexibility here because this is really
– I know, but I think that – I think that you're looking for that small exception that might delay everybody. The more changes we do, the more we're going to have to go put it up for public comment again. So – you know, remember that this is something. This proposal that the Jazz put was already put out for public comment. There wasn't that much changes to it. That's why we're actually going to recommend to the board to accept it. If we make too many changes, then it's going to have to go back to public comment, and then we're going to have to wait all this time and change it again. You know, let's not go focus on these small advantages here of a day and 10 days and stuff, and then cause us a lot more harm, you know, to delay things even longer. This is a better process to mitigate the collisions, because it allows us to mitigate all the collisions, even the ones that are not caught in the little data. So it's a more comprehensive way to do it. That's why the board is more amenable to make it happen. If we start changing everything again, we're going to get into delays, more delays. So why are we doing this?
Thanks, Akram. I actually have Maxim and Craig in the queue. And then, and then we'll wrap it up on this to take the time. Thank you.
Maxim also about Fated. It's small note. We have name collisions. We have RPMs. We have addendum to RPMs, which is QLP, which is important for geos. And now we see a situation where QLP, it's 100 names for the benefit of local government, etc. Yes, and it's allowed only till the end of sunrise. And we see situation when sunrise is going to be over soon. Important names for local government are frozen. And there is no resolution because QLP appeared after the name collisions issue. So please take note that it will require a resolution. Maybe we need to reserve some numbers from QLP to act when these domain names will be unfrozen.
I think we're mixing two things here. There is either you have not been delegated and therefore you're going to get delegated soon, and you go with the wildcard controlled interruption for the 90 days. If you're going down this path, from the time you sign your contract, if you finish your PDT within 30 days and you are delegated within these 30 days, then your 90 days and your sunrise could all happen at the same time as your 120 days, okay? Now, any slip in that first 30 days from contract signing to actually delegation, more than 30 days, that's the only time you're going to be delayed by. That's it. So if you take 45 days instead of 30 between contracting and delegation, then you're delayed 15 days from originally, and you're done. Okay? Now, if you've already been delegated, you have already a reserved list. Regardless of when your sunrise is, you cannot delegate this reserved list until you do a controlled interruption on each item of those one by one. So that would require every label in that list would require 90 days of control and interruption regardless. So you can do them all at once, 90 days for each one of them, and then see what you do with them, or you can pick and choose to say, you know, I'm going to do only these because I have demand for these, so I'll do those, and then I'll do the other ones later. That's up to you.
Under this QLP addendum, we allowed to delegate those before the end of sunrise. And now we see a situation when it will pass, QLP for us will be over, we won't be allowed to delegate it to government, and then we will have to pass procedures for the domain we can delegate. It's just...
I'm sorry, the QLP...
Sorry, I'm just going to keep us to time. So
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Please take that discussion
okay.
offline.
Just a quick answer. The QLPs, the 100 labels, cannot be delegated if they are in the collision list before or after. They cannot be delegated. Let's be careful on this, okay?
Thanks. Craig?
Yeah, just a quick question on timing. So I get the controlled interruption period is 90 days from delegation. The certificate issue that we've been talking about and the 120 days, that's from the day that you sign your agreement, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Frank. All right, Jeff. Sorry? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. Jim Prenner, guest, Galway Strategy Group. Real quick, on the 25 or so applications that the alternate path was not an option for, they are now just subject to the 90-day controlled interruption period, and then they're free and clear?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff Newman. Have any registries been granted an exception to the name collision requirements?
No.
So if there are registries that have delegated names that are on the name collision list, I'm assuming ICANN's on
compliance is on it.
Can you
all right, thanks. Let's leave it there.
Jacob, I just have one quick procedural question to make sure we understand how to move forward with staff on this.
Yeah,
I know you
thanks,
guys
sir.
Are collecting feedback right now to present to the NGPC in order to move this to completion. I know based on the discussion here today and the discussion at the session earlier in the week, yesterday, I think there's a couple areas where we still have some feedback that we'd like to provide and make sure that that's considered by both staff and then the NGPC as this goes to the final framework. What's our timing to get that to you, and what's the best way to make that happen?
We're assuming that what we put out is actually what we're going to go forward with. If we see a lot of interest, not from a single party, but from a set of parties that they would like to make changes, then we would consider it. Our timeline probably is at least 2 weeks before we meet with the NGPC, so probably no later than, 15th of July, because we need to, as soon as possible, because if we want to get this done, we have to deliver any recommendations and resolutions to the NGPC 2 weeks before the meeting. So we need to get all the information as soon as possible.
Thanks, that's helpful.
Thanks. All right. A good timeline to work on there for additional feedback and creativity on how we get this issue resolved. Obviously, the thing we'd like to avoid here is that it gets dragged out interminably at the NGPC level, because that's a very difficult risk for applicants to manage. So with that, I'll turn over to auctions. Russ had a proposal, but let's hear from Staten and Steve on where auctions is at.
Sure. Morning, everyone. Steve Machen. excuse me. The auctions working group has been quiet since the last meeting, largely. The first ICANN auction took place in June. It was a single string, as most of you will know. The two things we're waiting on are the indirect contention set rules, which Russ has been very helpful with some information on that. There are five sets, approximately. Included still in indirect contention. So they're obviously waiting keenly for those rules. It'd be good at some point if we can get a more clear guidance on the timing for those. But I think just to go back to the point around the postponement requests that relate to the publication of the framework that's just been the subject of this discussion, you had a question for the group about the rescinding of postponement requests, and I know that I've seen the comments that make the postponement request notification to applicants, and I'm not sure that we know the procedure for rescinding a postponement should that postponing applicant wish to, and then the procedure for notifying applicants who have been affected by that. I think for many applicants, the issue is timing of wanting to either conclude their or resolve their contention set, but also consistency. You know, at a commercial basis, you know, we're all businesses, and consistency is something that interminable delays with framework publication doesn't lead to. So I think that's the two things would be, postponements and the indirect contention sets. And in light of the information from this week, just some information about when you'll republish the new schedule of auctions with the new sets. Anything to add, Stan?
Thanks, Steve. This is Russ, for the record. So we could publish an updated schedule next week, postponing the sets from September or from August into September and October, like we talked about yesterday. There's 16 sets that would need to shift, and our idea was to put 10 of those sets into September, and the remaining six into October. And that way, we would kind of cap the September auction at 20 contention sets, and 18, I think, for the October auction. So we're not exceeding that, making a giant auction in September and creating any challenges there. So the options that we have in front of us are, we can just go ahead and unilaterally do that, and we can give you a deadline for when, if you wanted to pull any contention set, wanted to pull back into the August auction, they can notify us by a certain deadline, and every member of the contention set would have to agree to that. Or we can maybe take a week to my team can send out targeted messages to all the contention sets that would be delayed from August into September, October, and give them the opportunity to stay in the August auction before we update the schedule. Again, it would require full consent of the contention set. And then based on the response from that, we could make the update to the schedule. So I think it's, we can do it either way. I was trying to get a sense of, is there a preference from the applicant group, since we're facilitating this for you guys?
Okay. I think that's probably something that we can, I'm not sure if we want to get into that now or whether we'll regroup as the auctions committee and get back to you on that.
Thanks, Steve. Any other questions, thoughts, feedback on ICANN auctions for ICANN staff? All right, seeing none, thanks for the update from that team. Next on the agenda, we have future of NTAG discussion. Right, so at this point, I'm happy to the tenor of the session is going to change to thinking about what the future of the NTAG is going to look like. So I'd like to just thank ICANN staff. You have some ideas, yeah.
Yeah,
that was a big letter. I don't know, but thank you very much for joining.
Thanks,
really appreciate the feedback and the open dialogue, and we'll keep that open going forward. So I'll turn now over to Samantha, who's kindly volunteered to take this on. And I think we can go to the next slide.
Okay. Thanks, Jacob. Jacob gave a really good introduction, so I won't talk for very long, but the thought process behind the working group was that, you know, there are obviously a lot of questions about how the NTAG should evolve, and we thought the best way to get some of those answers was to just start an open discussion here in London that will definitely continue over the email listservs, et cetera, to try to, you know, get a little bit more progress made by the next ICANN meeting in LA. So I'm just going to give a really quick background and then turn it over to you guys, and we can start considering some of the questions at hand. So if you'll take a look at the slide, this is just an overview of the NTAG mission as stated at the very beginning of the charter as it's currently written. So an interest group formed as part of the registry stakeholder group, the primary role being to represent the interests of registry observers as they're engaged in the process of becoming operators. And, you know, as it stands right now, NTAG is reserved for applicants in the 2012 round. So that's obviously something that in the future we're going to have to, you know, consider updating. The next couple slides just talk about the portion of the RYSG charter that cover the establishment of interest groups. We just put it in for background, so I'll let you guys go through it instead of reading it out to you. And so now we'll, if you, Jacob, if you want to just go through the next two slides, we'll get right into the discussion questions. Okay, so the first one that we started to think about, it's more of a short-term question, which is, has the NTAG adequately fulfilled its stated mission up to this point in the 2012 round of new GTLD applications? So are there any aspects of the structure or operations that should be adjusted in order to better fulfill the mission as it stands right now in the current application round? And then the second set of questions deal more with the future of NTAG and whether or not it is an organization that should dissolve at some point. In the registry charter, there is discussion about whether or not an interest group should dissolve, and it, you know, provides for that to happen. So whether or not NTAG should dissolve at some point and then reform for subsequent GTLD application rounds, would dissolving for a period of time affect the current status within the registry stakeholder group or the GNSO? Could the NTAG pick up where it left off if it were to dissolve and then reform? And then if it were to dissolve for this round, when should that take place, and at what point should it reform for future rounds? And then finally, the last question we'll go through today is, what should the future relationship be between the NTAG and the registry stakeholder group? Are existing mechanisms sufficient, or are there ways that, for interaction sufficient, are there ways that can be improved? And does the current framework between regarding the membership between the NTAG and the RYSG need to be adjusted? The thinking behind this was, in future rounds, is if registries are applicants again, are the mechanisms in place for registries and those members sufficient, or should there be a different kind of structure between the two to make sure that applicant interests are well represented? So those are just the three kind of background questions. Like I said, this is the beginning of a conversation, I think. So I'm going to shut my mic off now and just open it to everyone to get your thoughts.
We have Donna in the queue. And then Reg.
Donna Austin.
Sorry,
Donna. Can you hear me? Thanks, Samantha, for the work. I just have a question for John and those that actually started the NTAG. Can you give us some context as to the reason, you know, why it was established in the first place? I think that would be useful.
Sure. Thanks, Donna. Yeah, when we drafted the charter way back when, it was almost an insurance policy that there were some issues coming up that while the registries were open to observers, we didn't have a uniform voice in the registry stakeholder group or in ICANN at large. So we thought, you know, to the extent we ever disagree with the incumbent registries, that we wanted to make sure that the applicants for the new TLDs had a voice, and that we could actually contradict the incumbents in case we needed to. And it turned out that we didn't really need to, because we were actively participating in that group, and our opinions ended up being welcome. But so we started it more as an insurance policy to give us a uniform voice versus individual companies making policy statements. We were able to collectively make a policy statement, which we felt was probably a stronger way to proceed and to represent our interests.
This is Reg Levy. My sense is that the NTAG is an extremely useful tool for applicants in any round, and that it should probably lie dormant until the next round. I mean, not starting now, but once there are no more members for it to represent, it should just lie dormant, and then it can spring anew in the next round, and it doesn't have to be recreated or reformed.
Jeff?
Yeah, I agree with Reg, and I think it also could be a useful discussion list for future rounds. So as we start talking about, I know there's sessions about lessons learned and things, I think we can keep it as a discussion list to talk about how we move forward as a group with recommending additional new GTLD rounds. So It kind of changes a little bit of focus, and then as Reg says, so that's sort of the dormant period. And then as Reg says, as soon as there is a new applicant round, or we're getting closer, then this group comes back into being.
John?
Yeah, so I think it's a great tool for future applicants, so I think we should, whether leave it dormant or recreate it, that doesn't matter to me. The question, the more pressing question, I think, is do we set up an interest group in the registry stakeholder group to represent the interests of new registries versus old registries? And the question is, can you see coming down the pike any issues that there may be a distinction of interest between a legacy TLD with a legacy contract or the new TLDs with the new TLD contracts? And if so, then maybe we want to keep it more active as an interest group, not of applicants any longer, but of new registries. And that's certainly something I've been thinking about, and perhaps that may be a tool that would be helpful for all of us going forward.
Any thoughts on John's suggestion? Jeff?
I would almost say it's kind of the opposite, right? The existing registries or the legacy contract registries are so few, it's almost kind of like the new TLD group becomes the registry stakeholder group, and then if there's separate interests of the legacy ones, that almost becomes an interest group, right? It's almost the other way around, but...
Yeah, that could be if there weren't weighted voting in the registry stakeholder group.
Well, look, the weighted voting is... the weighted voting is not going to be enough power for the legacy registries to overrun any of the new TLDs, so that's a whole separate discussion. I think we should save that for the whole evolution of the registry stakeholder group, as opposed to now talking about different interest groups when we don't even know what that group is going to turn into.
Susan?
Fine. It's sort of been superseded, but I was just going to say, I think there is a real discussion that needs to be had about the voting and the structure for the future, and I totally agree that we need to look at that.
Yeah, and to that I would say absolutely. There's a lot of... the new TLDs are now more than the existing TLDs, even with the weighted voting. Start the discussion within the registry stakeholder group. Have it. Don't be afraid of it. You guys now have more power, and we have more power. Let's do it. Let's not talk about how bad it is from the outside. You're all on the inside now, or a lot of you are on the inside.
So the underlying question there is... if there's a potential for NTAG to transition into a sort of new registries group, then we may not want to sunset it until that question is resolved, and that may be tied to an overall discussion at the RYSG level. Maxim?
Only one short notice. It's about the current life cycle of NTAG. I suggest it's going to be frozen after reaching only 3 persons left for voting procedures, because when 2 persons vote, it's not nice. And when one votes, it's even better.
That's a proposal for a fairly low...
yes, for the last days.
Yeah, for the minimum threshold. Oh, I see Tim.
Tim Switzer, .build. I guess one question I have, because I must confess I'm not an expert on the bylaws and all that. I think one of the things that made the NTAG so effective is that because it got its, official status, it was very recognized, very supported by the registry stakeholder group, the GNSO, and quite frankly, within ICANN. I mean, the very first meeting we had, ICANN board members, ICANN staff, and that's continued. My question is, again, just out of just not knowing this dormant status, I mean, is there... what does that mean? I guess I'm asking to folks that are a little bit better experts on the stakeholder. I mean, can it lie in a dormant status and then revive itself at the same level that it was before, or does that mean something that it has to kind of get kickstarted again when we get it going?
So I think, I think that's a big question that we're asking. And I think, you know, talking about whether or not the NTAG should exist as an interest group going forward, not as an applicants per se, but new TLD registries, then maybe one way to address this dormancy issue is to make a new charter with a provision that says, in the future, when new application rounds come up, there will be a division of the new TLD registry group that provides for a group within it. That's very inarticulate right now. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, something that provides for a path for applicants. Because I think that's still what we're trying to get at, is giving applicants a resource that, you know, maybe is a little bit different than what is available for registries. Oops, sorry.
Go ahead. Sarah, then Tim. Or Sarah, then Annette. Stephanie, sorry. Still a bit early.
But I think to John's point is, I do think that there's going to be a bit of a bridge issue where one of the best parts about this group is that most times we speak with one voice. And so when we send a letter to ICANN, like, this is why, these are the improvements we need on the GDD, and this is what we need help with as we become new registries and things like that. It's becoming less of an applicant issue and more of a, you know, we just got delegated and there's still a lot of challenges interfacing with ICANN. And I think it's great that the RYSG sort of is willing to sign on to those letters and things like that. But in many ways, it's almost not their responsibility, right? Like they're not having the same challenges that we're having. And so when we write a letter to ICANN or to the board or whomever, it holds a bit of weight because we're speaking for all of us. And so I think that's the piece. And it's not about, you know, the RYSG not being, you know, that we should take them over or that they're not being listening to our issues. They're just still, frankly, just we have different issues still. And it's going to lessen as we go through. But I think losing that voice is what we really need to make sure we don't do. And so I think if we, and it's, you know, it's not a new applicant, necessarily a new applicant issue. It's almost like a new registry issue. And I don't think we should continue to have the divide in the RYSG, but I do think we need to pay attention to sort of losing that voice and how we all work together.
Yeah, I want to echo Sarah's points. And also going through, we still have a lot to get through. There's still auctions, there's still delegation, and while it's nice to think that that's all going to go smoothly, I'm sure there's still going to be opportunities for that unified voice, issues where we want to have this discussion forum. And it might change, and the structure might be different as we go forward, and the membership gets smaller, but I think having this, at least through the next year or so, ICANN is projecting that we're going to keep delegating TLDs through 2017. So there's still some time where we're going to be working through these issues. Also, if we are to make the group dormant, I think part of the value of the NTAG is that it was folks like John who were the actual applicants, were the new applicants that generated the rules and generated the group's focus. So if we are to make it dormant, I would suggest that it not be too restrictive and you let the people who are the new applicants downstream be setting their own rules and be setting their own priorities for a group.
Thanks, Stephanie. I have Donna and then Reg.
I think some months ago, myself or Adrian started a conversation about, you know, what's the role of the registry stakeholder group and what's the role of the NTAG? And maybe that's a conversation we need to go back to and just see if there is a... There's probably not a clear delineation, but I think we can probably identify what, you know, what we think is good for the registry stakeholder group to pursue and perhaps where the NTAG still has a role to play.
I agree with Donna. I think that those of us who have signed registry agreements who are new or who were applicants are now part of the registry stakeholders group, and that's our forum, and that's our unified voice. And maybe weighted voting needs to be taken a second look at, but in the meantime, our issues are registry issues. They're not just applicant issues.
Thanks, Reg. Jeff?
I agree with that, but I also agree, obviously, with keeping the NTAG, because I think there are going to be some some divergence of interests. Frankly, I am sure that when we start talking about another round of TLDs, I think even some of the new TLD applicants in this round that became registries may not necessarily want new GTLDs. So there's going to be a divergence. So I think this group is a good group to keep open, or at least the mailing list open, to discuss those types of things that talk about either the current new TLD issues or future new TLD issues. There's going to be a review of the new TLDs. There's going to be different interests, especially from those that want new TLDs going forward and those that may not necessarily have an interest in that.
So do you then see a similar divide between new TLDs and legacy TLDs as there is between CCTLDs and GTLDs?
See the parallel there. I see this kind of going back maybe 6, 7 years or 8 years now, when there was some legacy TLDs that didn't necessarily want the new TLDs. I see that sort of happening again. I see that the new TLDs that become now legacy TLDs for that future round, I see the same types of issues coming up.
Yeah, you know, Jeff raises a good point on the review of this round. So is there a voice for us that participate in this round that might be different than those who didn't participate in this round? And I think there probably is. So, you know, whether we call it, whether we do both an interest group inside the tent of the registry stakeholder group or NTAG or whatever, I think there will be issues that we as new TLD 2012 registries will want to have a voice, I think, going forward and continue to have that voice. Obviously, there are issues for us as applicants. We're all still applicants in this round and getting through, you know, the auction and delegation and whatnot. But looking long term, I think there probably is a point for an interest group, just like there's a point for an interest group with the GOs and the community folks and other, maybe the brands and others.
Thanks, John. Please go ahead.
This is Sophia. I do think that the NTAG group is a good start for new GTLD registries who are new to the industry and ICANN policies to have the good platform of discussing some of the topics. Because some of the topics and requests discussed in the RYSG are just too far away from the real issues that we're having in the new registries. But I also do think that it's important that we have a voice in the RYSG in the future in terms of voting when we become the new registries. And we need to be more clear about some of the we need to have stronger voices in RISG. Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the issue? All right.
Okay, I mean, I don't think we need to go through, like, every single question. I think we've covered most of the stuff here. What I'm going to do is I've been taking notes on some of the feedback. I'm going to compile some kind of high-level thoughts, and I'll circulate it to the mailing list, and we can keep the discussion going that way. And if you guys have any questions or suggestions, please feel free to reach out directly.
That's great. I think it's great to kick off the discussion and have this gut check. We've had the NTAG for a long time now, so it's great to think about how it's going to change and evolve, and appreciate all the feedback and comments today. Does anyone find it cold in here? Is everyone freezing? Is there a way, I'm not sure, is there a way to increase the temperature in the room?
Bring ICANN back.
It was nice and steamy in the GAC board session yesterday. Maybe we could pipe some of that air. All right, we'll see if we can find anyone to help with that. With that, and to keep us on schedule, we have a guest speaker, Vicky Follens with Deloitte, to talk about the TMCH. Vicky, are you here? Thanks very much. And we can change to the slide deck for TMCH presentation.
Good morning, everyone. So Vicky Follens from Deloitte. I also have Peter van der Wielen with me here as well, who is more from our marketing side, who has some interesting insights as well that we think might be interest of you as you're going down the road. First of all, I want to thank everybody to be able to provide some information on the Trademark Clearinghouse. We've been up and running for a year and a couple of months now,
And that's why we wanted to provide you some information on our stats, so what's going on with the Trademark Clearinghouse, and also an update on the marketing toolkit for Sunrise launches and some items that we're doing with our agents as well to promote your TLDs. Can I move the slides through here? No. Okay. All right. So we can go to the next slide. So currently we have over 31,000 trademark records in the clearinghouse. Does that mean that they're all eligible for your particular Sunrise? Yes and no. Well, we have still a few that are on invalid that don't qualify and according to the clearinghouse guidelines, but that's 1% of the trademark records in there. And a lot of you have asked us to provide you on a regular basis with stats. Some of you might be aware, but we do have a stats page on our website where we provide the number of trademark records on a monthly basis, the number of notifications being sent. So you can all see those information on a monthly basis, or it's updated on a monthly basis on our website. As for claims notifications and ongoing notifications, we can say that there are 51,000, over 51,000 that have unique notifications, meaning that these are the notifications that are sent per trademark, but so you have some trademarks that have multiple notifications being sent. Over 51,000 are unique notifications. And for those that don't know or haven't heard that we're providing the ongoing notifications, because we're receiving some questions about that. So claims notifications is the mandatory 90 days claims notifications. The ongoing notifications is information that we provide based on the zone file to the trademark holders as to a domain name is in the zone file and matches the trademark record. And for over the 153 Sunrises that currently have closed, we've been able to see that there are 19,248 Sunrise unique Sunrise notifications being sent. And if you look at the stats here per TLD, you see that 55% of the TLDs are at 2,200 Sunrise notifications, if I can get that correctly. So these are interesting numbers that you might I find interesting to see. And following the next slide. So from the over the 31,000 trademarks in the clearinghouse, we actually have 59,000 labels in the clearinghouse. So there are 59 potential domain names that can be registered in your Sunrise as from the trademarks. Why is it more? Because you have the spaces that can be omitted and replaced by a hyphen, and you have the ampersand and the at sign that can be translated. So that's why we have more labels than trademarks. And then over 5,000 unique labels trigger a Sunrise notification, but I'm going to hand that over to you.
Hi, this is Peter van der Wielen. So we see that over 5,000 unique labels trigger the notification because there are different, like Vicky said, because some brand owners have different labels. Cutting the corner a bit, you can say somewhat that 5,000 companies or 5,000 brand owners register the mark during any Sunrise. And for this, we see that brand owners, about 49% of the brand owners are only doing a single, or only registered a single Sunrise up until now. 35% have only registered two to five Sunrises. So this led us somewhat to the conclusion, and that's also what we're hearing in the market and the feedback that we're getting from our agents, that brand owners are no longer mass registering defensively, and this should also result in more the registrations that are happening are really those who want to be active in a certain TLD.
So there's definitely a trend from the past, yeah.
Just a quick question on that, Peter. So less than 10% of the labels that are in the clearinghouse have participated so far in a Sunrise. Is that an accurate statement?
That's an accurate statement.
Okay, thanks.
Of course, for example, when they go for DPML, they're not receiving a Sunrise notification now, so But we definitely see that there's a different trend, that brand owners are looking at the TLDs from a different perspective and not only from a defensive, because in the past they started registering defensively, that they really wanted to use the TLDs for their different marketing purposes. And then following the next slide, please. So what are we doing for you currently? First of all, we have a sunrise calendar as well on our website, so we include your sunrise dates on our website. We also have a bannerings page on our website for you as a registry to market your TLD so that people look at us and see you as well. And I think how many unique visitors have we already had on our webpage?
Don't know by heart.
Yeah, it's in your bag, so you can see the numbers there. So there's some good traffic on our website, so it brings attention. We also have bannering space on our sunrise calendar as well. I'll come to that in a couple of minutes. And then we also reach out to you if you're interested, because we have our clients, of course, the trademark holders and trademark agents. They are interested in hearing about the TLD. So if you want to have a webinar session with, and so that you can explain your TLD, the sunrise, land rush, all of that information that you want to get out there, it is possible. You just need to reach out to us and we can set up. We have the platform. There's no extra charge of that for as a registry. So we're happy to accommodate those needs. And what we also have, customized marking materials and videos. So we actually have videos where we can put your TLD in the central so that you can market as well for obtaining more sunrise registrations, so that people are more aware of the fact what you're doing and that they first have to go through the TMCH. We've also in the past tried to help as much as we could with a fast-track validation, meaning that people who get in 2 days before are still able to participate in your sunrise. Although we can take up to 20 days, we do try to help, of course, the people that are at last minute there, that they want to get a sunrise verification, want to get their sunrise domain name registration. So we do help that out. And then we've also implemented the Sunrise Agent page. But if we're following the slide, I will visualize it. So this is what we call the Sunrise Agent page. So what we're seeing is a lot of trademark holders, they want to get a domain name registration. They go to the registrar. Sometimes not the registrar is not an agent. Then they say, you need to get an SMD file. The holder has to go to our website, get the SMD file, go back to the registrar. So it's a little confusing sometimes. So we've created the Sunrise Agent page for the TLDs that are cooperating with the TMCH, where we actually list per TLD the agents that are in the clearinghouse, which are there, and your registrars who are providing sunrise registrations, so that trademark holders can just go directly to them for a full stop service, so they don't lose interest, they don't lose track of time, because sometimes it takes a while for them to actually know which process they need to take. So we hope that that will also create more awareness and simplify the process from our end. And then following the next slide, so currently our sunrise calendar just provided the sunrise dates. We are optimizing our sunrise calendar to provide all the information with your sunrise launched, limited registration period, claims period, all of that will be now mentioned on our website. And the clients will also be able to actually put their dates or the TLD in their calendar so that they can keep track of when it's launching, so that they can, that they're aware of when they need to participate in the sunrise or whichever period that they want to participate. So that will be a nice feature. Again, we get our information from ICANN. It's not a replication of ICANN's, it's not an ICANN's calendar, so this is just on our website because we have so many people coming to our website and looking for information on the different sunrises. So that will be coming out soon. And then following the next slide. So what we've learned is a lot of awareness is still necessary. People, trademark holders, are not always aware of TLDs. A lot of information is out there. They're being sometimes spammed, as I call it, because of the fact that there's so much information and each day there's a new TLD coming up. The more information you can provide us to understand your TLD better, the better we can also assist the trademark holders in understanding and explaining to them. So it's helpful if you can provide us with information on your strategy. Who's your core market? Because for specific TLDs, you want these kind of companies. Others, it's more open, so that's up to you. But the more information, the better for us. And also, if you have a marketing toolkit, forward it to us. We will publish it. We will provide it to the clients, so that will benefit all of us. And of course, yeah, one of the key messages is don't overcomplify it. Keep it simple, because at the end of the day, the simpler it is, the easier it is for all parties to get an interest. And we also note that a lot of people are not aware of what a sunrise period is. So even though that we are in this community very aware of a sunrise period, we see that priority registration for trademarks sometimes works better to advise and to explain what a sunrise period is. So keep trying, we'll be aware of that as well when it's just about TMCH. When you want a successful sunrise, it's also keep it simple in explanation as to what they need to do. I think that follows all of our slides. So again, we're open for any discussion. If you have questions now, please go ahead and come to us or ask the questions. We have our email addresses as well there. So we're happy to communicate in any way we can. If you also have suggestions as what we need to do better, please let us know, and we're happy to take a look at what else we can do. Thank you.
Thanks very much, and thanks for taking the time this morning to speak to new GTLD applicants. I had a question in the queue from Reg, and please go ahead.
Thank you, Vicky, very much for coming out. Can we go back to the second slide? Sorry, the third slide. Thank you. So it says sunrise notifications per TLD, 19,000, but then it says the number of TLDs with between 20 and 100 sunrise notifications is 55%. So I don't understand what that means.
So total sunrise notifications is 19,000, and then it's per TLD that you can see that the different, how many sunrise notifications and the percentage.
Okay, so the 19,000 is yeah, total.
Total.
And then the next slide. Oh, that's per label. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Any other questions, feedback on the TMCH? All right, hearing none, thanks very much for presenting. Really appreciate it, and appreciate the open channel. I think that's really one of the themes of this meeting.
Yep, thanks.
Okay, with that, the last item on the agenda is the introduction of the new incoming NTAG Executive Committee. So I will ask them to stand up, please, so we can see who everybody is. The Chair, Steve Mashin. Maxim Alzoba, Vice Chair. Donna Austin, Treasurer. And Susan Payne, Secretary. So thank you very much. Really appreciate your taking on the role going forward, and we'll look forward to supporting you to make sure that we get through this process efficiently in the next 6 months. I also wanted to call out Keith Trazek, Chair of the RYSG, and just really thank him and the Executive Committee for being so open. There was a great dialogue throughout the 6 months between the Executive Committees, and I think it resulted in wins for applicants and registries. So Keith, if you wanted to say a couple words.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jacob. Yeah, just a few notes. I mean, one, I think a real sincere thank you to the outgoing XCOM for all the hard work and expertise and energy that you've brought to NTAG, also the registry stakeholder group. And as you said, our joint XCOM meetings, I think, have been extremely productive. So a round of applause for sure. So I think just a general note, I think folks who have participated in our registry and NTAG calls have heard me say this before, but I am very, very excited about the energy level and the expertise and the interest and focus contributions that applicants have brought to the registry group. I really do feel like the NTAG is really part of the registry group, and that I think the work that we've accomplished together over the last year plus has really shown that. So I'm very excited to see applicants finally signing contracts, getting delegated, and becoming full members of the registry stakeholder group. So this is a pitch as much as anything to say we hope that you continue. The policy work that we do as a stakeholder group is far from done. We're going to have plenty of challenges as contracted parties, registries and registrars, and as you transition from applicant to registry, you know, we're, the stakeholder group is there to support you, to protect you, and it's critical, I think, that we keep this momentum going. We need new blood in the registry stakeholder group. It's been great what we've had so far, but we need more. So, you know, look forward to working with everybody. And thanks again to the outgoing XCOM, and I look forward to working with the new.
Thanks, Heath. All right, and with that, we'll wrap it up. New GTLD retrospective is in 15 minutes. For those of you who'd like to join, we'd love to just have a real open and frank discussion about this round and what might happen in the future. Thanks, everyone, for coming, and we'll wrap it up.